Thanks for joining us for this episode of STBCon Radio Podcast. Today, Rich talks with STBCon speaker Wayne Areola, Chief Strategy Officer at Parasoft. Wayne discusses the importance of bringing together business executives and the quality teams to maintain the quality of the organization's software and the importance of setting expectations with the business side of the house to help reduce the overall risk of releasing software that fails. All these points and more are contained in Wayne's new book, Continuous Testing, now available on Amazon.com. Listen to this podcast and find out how you can receive your free copy for a limited time only. And now on with the show. Take it away, Rich.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome everyone to this edition of STPCon Podcast, where we're talking with presenters and sponsors for the upcoming STP Conference in beautiful New Orleans, April 14th through the 17th. And today I have the pleasure of talking with Wayne Areola, who is both a sponsor and a speaker, and he's the Chief Strategy Officer at Parasoft. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Rich. We're really excited to be down in New Orleans with you guys.
We're really appreciative, and we know you're going to give us a great session, and it's going to be a great time there. Wonderful venue, absolutely. A lot of great people there. You'll be talking a little bit about service virtualization, how it enables continuous testing. But today I really wanted to focus. You just released a book called Continuous Testing, and I want you to talk a little bit as the Chief Strategy Officer, what you do, and then talk about why you wrote this book.
Well, so my role is to really help organizations converge business expectations with development outcomes. And I know we've been working at that for what seems like forever, but we're really at a different time and a real inflection point with software development where, you know, truly the interface to the business is software. And quite honestly, the greatest risk presented to the business is the failure of that software. And I think culturally, many organizations have not necessarily evolved their development organization or the testing organization to truly meet the business risks associated with software failure. So I'm a business type person, and I've been in the testing space for almost 12 years now. And it always struck me as odd, the somewhat divorce between, or I like to call it the geek gap at sometimes, but because I have now turned into a geek myself. But the gap between really what the business overarching business objective is and what happens really when you get down to the teams that are doing the work. So, you know, the first thing, you know, I always say, and I am utterly amazed at developers and testers. What they do is highly complex. And the fact that they're able to actually execute what they're able to execute today is just amazing. But we need to really close that geek gap between developers and testers to where the business needs to go.
And reading your book, I'm a business person like you, Wayne. I'm not a technical guru. I understand the processes and things like that, but I'm not a technical person. This book really spoke to me because as a business person, you are so right that software is a competitive differentiator in many businesses out there today. And there was I'm taking a quote out of the book that says, you speak to the cost of quality is not the cost of creating software. It is the penalty or risk incurred by failing to deliver quality software. I thought that was really a profound statement about looking at software from a different perspective. Talk to me why you wrote that.
Well, first of all, that is the true definition of cost of quality. So if you look at TQM and many different quality circles in the manufacturing arena, failure is the true cost. It's not the cost of putting in testing devices. It's not the cost of putting in QA or the cost of your developers to do component or unit testing. It is the true cost of failure. And, you know, you're going to see that over and over again. And so on my smartphone, I get the CNN news feeds. And when they're not sending me news feeds about Justin Bieber, I got to admit I actually enjoy the application. Yet more and more over 2012 and 2013, I was receiving a lot of of information around outages caused by software failure. And it's just remarkable to me that we don't necessarily equate those incidents to really business risk. And so I did a little bit of equity analysis associated with software failure over the years 2012 to 2013. I added in a few events in 2011 that were prominent. And essentially, I mean, Rich, check this out. So when a software failure made headline news, on the day of that news, public organizations lost an average of 3.75% of their total market value, mm-hmm. which means that software failure took money out of the shareholders' wallets and overall decreased the value of that organization. So, and this equated to over $2 billion of market value loss per incident on average, right? And if you were going to go up to the software development team that's writing that app or and said, hey, by the way, you realize that this release is gonna knock your stock price down about 4% and cause a net loss of $2 billion, I'm sure they would think about the processes a little bit differently. If the business people had those same facts at the tip of their tongues and understood the risk associated with the application failure, I'm sure that we've been looking at things a lot differently. And that's what the book is trying to say. We have to really understand and reassess our software quality practices associated with the true cost of software quality, which is the risk of failure.
I couldn't agree more. And to me, what this book felt like was a bringing together of the business community and the quality community and trying to speak a common language. And I love how in each chapter you started off with an executive summary that really kind of summarizes what this really means to the business. And I think as testers read this, they'll understand why what they do is important to the business. Now, you call this continuous testing. And one of the things, tell me what you mean by continuous testing helps make better trade-off decisions between release scope, time, and quality. I found that very interesting.
Yeah. No, so it's an interesting point. It's a loaded statement, by the way. And by the way, I like the executive summaries too, because you know what you will find are the business people have ADD, and the dev and testers out there, those are the people who are really details oriented. So for the dev and testers who happen to pick up the book, remember that's there for the ADD oriented business people. For what I meant by that in terms of balancing the trade-off decisions is, no matter what, as we walk through a software delivery iteration or even a release candidate, look, we know that things are not going to go right 100%. It's not 100% seamless. There's things that pop up. There's APIs that might not be complete. There's partner applications or applications from one of our training partners that might not serve the need we need to serve. And this is mostly when we're trying to create differentiable software. Software that breaks new ground or offers new values to services to our customer base, or does a unique algorithm that offers a better view of data in our arena or our business scope. And when you're looking at that and the complexity of actually doing that, given the fact that we're usually rolling out applications from legacy code, it gets complex. So you know you need to make trade-off decisions. Meaning that, hey, I got to cut that requirement down, or by the way, I might have to increase the release cycle on this, so I'm never going to hit my expected delivery date. And those are pretty critical conversations to have. And I think as we look at the software quality practices, which usually happen much later in the cycle, traditionally later in the cycle, we're not able to get that quality data up front. That allows me to say, you know what? This component looks pretty solid, and it looks like the progress associated with this component is going to meet the delivery date. Let's proceed in that direction, hold off this other feature until another release or a dot release that we can achieve after that. So the trade-off decisions truly rely on visibility of information that currently isn't in there today. And this is where continuous testing comes in. So continuous testing comes in to give us really a real-time assessment of the quality of the application at any point in time. And given that, I'm going to be able to say, hey, component X and Y, let's move forward. And component Z, looks like we're struggling there. Might not be our fault. We're waiting for an API to roll with a partner. Let's delay that. So that's the whole point of it. Let's get all the information, get all the cards on the table, so both the business and the technical groups or development teams can make better decisions.
And you follow that up with, you know, you talk about the value of continuous testing, and then right after that you talk about establishing business expectations, defining business demand, demonstrating executive sponsorship. Talk about that a little bit, because you need that in place in order to do what you just talked about, right? Yeah. Is that why that policy comes in right after the value?
Yeah. So, you know, policy is an ugly word because most of us associate it with government issues and shutdowns and complications that we don't really want to live by. But nonetheless, they're out there. But let's take the concept of the business expectation real quick. You know, for example, if you're going to come on as a new developer and or a new tester in an organization, and so you read through a manual and the manual said, hey, by the way, the application we're testing is pretty critical. It has some pretty big security risks associated with it, and you know, we got to make sure that this is a solid application. That's one thing. If you understood in truly quantitative terms the fact that an outage associated with this particular application would cost the organization $66,000 a minute, for example, or a failure that would happens to leak into headline news would cost the organization $2 billion in market value. That's certainly another way of expressing risk. Furthermore, once we bring in the executive management team from the business side to partner with the technical team and let them understand the business risks from their own mouths, that is really the penultimate type of scenario we're trying to drive and achieve. Showing that the business executive cares, number one, and two, delivering the message to the technical team that the importance of their activity truly drives the evolution of the business. And in some organizations, they truly do that. In the best of breed type technology teams, you constantly hear about the interaction of the executive management. But traditionally, I think across the board, this isn't happening day to day. And this book tries to encourage that type of not only quantification of risk, but also the presentation of that distinct business risk by the executive management team.
Yeah, great points. Now, we don't have time to talk about everything in this book, but if there's a business executive listening out there, there's testers listening out there, give me a nugget for the business executive, why it's important to read. And it's such an easy read. It's very well laid out. It's broken up in really concise pieces. So it's a very, very good read. It's an easy read. But why, as a business executive, should I be reading this at the organization? And as a tester or quality person, what are the biggest things I'm going to take away as one of those two audiences?
Well, thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate it. I think what we need to talk to the middle ground. And the middle ground is the fact of the matter is that software isn't going away. It's driving those mobile applications. It's driving the interface that you're looking at the via the website or the internet. And quite honestly, any kind of differentiable future that your organization has is probably going to be software driven at one point or another. That being said, understanding how to best get this differentiable software to the market as fast as possible, meeting the quality expectations that are usually unwritten or undiscussed or not discussed, is that critical middle ground. So for the business executive, remember, you have more control over what is traditionally this black box of development than you think. If you can help the organization express in quantitative terms the risks associated with software failure or that application failing the business. From the developer side and the QA side, you are really now, as software has moved from truly just process enablement to true differentiable type of software, you guys are now really the gatekeepers to the operation. That being said, you must demand the fact that you understand these quantitative metrics better in order to defend against it and meet the business's expectation. So come to that middle ground, and I think this book will at least allow you to ask a few questions by laying it out the way we have.
That was a great, great value proposition. Now, I want to wrap it up because one of the last chapter in the book talks about service virtualization, eliminating test environment access issues, and you're going to be speaking at the upcoming conference in session 405, Service Virtualization Enables Continuous Testing. Talk a little bit about the importance of service virtualization, because it seems to be a growing topic out there in the testing community, why it's important, why you ended on that, and a little bit about what you're going to talk about in your session 405.
So session 405, service virtualization, how it enables continuous testing. So this is where the geek side of me has definitely come out. I've fallen in love with the ideas of enabling the environment to be accessible and ready in order to test at any period of time. So traditionally, we've been testing in a manner in which most defects are fleshed out of the application very late in the cycle when the application is fully built and ready to go. Ideas like continuous integration have given us the ability to actually have built applications ready to be tested really throughout the entire software development lifecycle. The missing piece, though, has really been this idea of the test environment. And the test environment isn't necessarily the database and the app and the server in which the application under test resides. It's really this ecosystem of – we just did a survey in one organization, and out of the entire survey, 2,500 respondents, the average number of dependencies associated with the application under test is 30. So can you imagine standing up in a staged environment 30 separate applications in order to test your application that's under test? Mm-hmm. It's nearly impossible. And this is where service virtualization comes in. Service virtualization creates a simulated test environment, basically mocking the interactions between or among those 30 separate dependencies, giving you the ability to test continuously. Think of it really as managing a very complex set of stubs, but I like to call them stubs on steroids. So with that ability to have that environment available to you 24/7, you can do a lot of testing up front, ensuring the quality of that application really as incremental as your agile process is demanding.
Wayne, where can folks get the book? I know you just released it. I was given a copy by your organization, and I thank you very much for that. But if I'm listening and I want to get the book, where can I get the book? And if they want to contact you about some of the information in the book, how can they do that?
Wonderful. So for the SDP and SDPCon folks, we look forward to seeing you in New Orleans. We always look forward to that conference, number one, so you can see us there. The book is available on Amazon, but secretly, you can go to the Parasoft website at parasoft.com, and you can click on our resource center, and for a limited time, we're going to be giving away the book for free. So look up the Continuous Testing book. You can sign up there, and we'll send you a copy out for free.
Ah, excellent. I am going to we might even tweet that out, Wayne. Would that be appropriate, or are you trying
absolutely
to keep it a secret there, Parasoft?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to retire on continuous testing books. So.
It's a great book, though. I encourage everybody to get a copy. It's even if you don't get it in time for the free copies, it's well worth the. I think it's about $5 or something. Well worth more than worth the money there. I'm looking forward to seeing you down in New Orleans, April 14th through the 17th. And Wayne, I want to thank you for taking the time, not only to write the book, because I think it's a huge value to the community, but taking time today to talk about it and share with the audience here at STP. I thank you for that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Look forward to it. And everyone, thanks for joining us on this STPCon podcast, where we're talking with presenters and sponsors of our upcoming April 14th through the 17th conference in New Orleans. We'll see you in New Orleans. That ends today's podcast.
Thanks for joining us today. Learn more about STPCon in New Orleans from April 14th through the 17th at stpcon.com.